Proverbs 4, verses 24 and 25. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. It is interesting that immediately after the admonition to keep our heart is the admonition to guard our lips. The mark of wisdom is not only doing the right thing, but saying the right thing. Not only the right actions, but the right answers. Here the Word of God warns against twisting or distorting the truth. It is a frightening thing to realize that others can be directed along the path of perdition by what we say. When I was a ticket agent for the Chicago Great Western Railroad, I learned it was far better to give no information than to give the wrong information. We must commit both our lives and our lips to the keeping power of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Jesus taught that if the tree is good, the fruit will be good. But if the tree is corrupt, the fruit will likewise be corrupt. The tree, therefore, is known by its fruit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our words reveal what is in our heart. Remember then the words of James. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. The prayer of David is a pattern for all of us. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. After the lips come the eyes. Jesus said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye is one of the main highways for sin to enter the heart. Daily we are bombarded with clever and interesting material from television, motion pictures, books, and magazines that spews directly from the pit of hell. The devil's crowd labors night and day to corrupt the heart and the soul of the world by releasing tons of filth into the mainstream of literature and entertainment. This is not a new tactic. In the Garden of Eden, Eve first saw the tree was good and pleasant to the eyes. Peter speaks of those having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. The psalmist prayed, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. As a young man on a farm in Iowa, I learned the importance of keeping my eyes on my work. If I gaze around while riding the horse-drawn cultivator in the cornfield, I would do more harm than good. I would not cultivate the corn, but kill it. I had to keep my eyes on the row of the growing grain. If I failed to do this, I could cover it up when it was small or plow it up the second or third time through the field. What I looked at was crucial to the well-being of the crop. I saw the same danger years later in a Bible school. I was there for a week of messages in the chapel and counseling of students during their free time. One day I was sitting watching a group of young men in the lounge. Every time a girl walked by, their eyes became like vertical turn signals, clicking up and down. They were allowing their eyes to be used to stimulate the desires of the flesh and feed their carnal nature. This is deadly. There is so much inflammable material in the old nature that it is madness to do anything that can kindle a fire. Achan brought destruction to himself and tragedy to the entire camp by falling into this very trap. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Notice, first he saw, then he coveted, and then he took, and then tried to cover his sin. It began with his eyes. We are safe on the road when we keep our eyes straight before us, fixed on Christ himself.